It's kind of creepy.
Action features.
Getting close to the amount of time where it becomes, we have to pay for it.
Foxy lady.
Hey, man.
Hey.
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 Boom, 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 Foxy.
Yeah, man.
Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom.
That's Jim.
I was just excited about when
Jimi Hendrix
played the music.
Oh, no, I was just laughing about earlier when you were talking to his belly.
Don Rickles,
Don
man.
Rickles, gone.
Just found out, just today we hear the news that Don Rickles has passed away at the age of 90. That stinks.
It does stink.
Great as Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies. Hilarious with stand-up. Awesome in Dirty Work.
Great in Dirty Work.
So great in Dirty Work.
You know I love Dirty Work.
Yeah.
It's a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don Rickles, that's too bad.
Why don't you go to a zoo? Why don't you work at a zoo and not bother anybody?
He says, don't bother anybody twice.
Why don't you work at a zoo and not bother anybody?
Why don't you get a horse and go up in the mountains and don't bother anybody?
The both of them, neither one of them is bothering anybody at that
right,
point.
Right, they're just standing
they're
there.
Just new guys.
They're just standing there, just new guys. Now, what are you laughing because I call your friend a fat
swelling
pig?
Swelling up as I talk to you.
Baskin Robbins called. They said they're down to 5 flavors.
You look like a tub of lard on a bad day.
On a bad day. On a bad day.
Man, he was funny. He was so funny.
His delivery on that stuff is
so good.
It's
great. So, bummer, Don Rickles, very funny guy. Hey, man.
Hey.
But tell you something that's not funny.
What's that?
You got some big news.
Hey.
You want to say it or me say it?
I would rather.
You should say it.
I'd rather you tell everybody.
I'll tell everybody. Mike got a haircut this past weekend.
And it looks fantastic.
It looks really good. It's very
sharp. The best haircut I've had.
It's really good. Plus, he also got engaged.
Got engaged, too.
Whoa!
Hey-o!
Hey, not to me. I'm already married.
Not to James, but to a lady.
To his girlfriend.
To a girl. Yeah.
You want to say her, you don't have to say her name. You know, in case she wants to remain anonymous and not get bothered with all the fan mail.
Yeah.
You know, her name's Amy.
The infamous
just
Amy
know,
Bell. So. Yeah,
so. Congrats, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Man, I'm happy for you.
Hey. Thanks, buddy.
You know I'm happy for Mike.
Hey, you guys know.
You know that Mike's one of my good buddies, and I want things to be good for him. You know?
You know he's wishing well.
Hey, you know I'm happy for him. So, to celebrate Mike's pending nuptials.
Prenuptials.
Pending.
Prenuptials.
Yeah, the prenuptials.
Pending prenuptials.
Oh, you're getting a prenup.
I don't.
You're getting a prenup, huh?
I've got a Finsky at home.
Yeah, you want to hang on to
in
that.
In a jar, and I want to make sure that doesn't go anywhere.
We watch Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump?
It's a television series.
Okay.
And there's this couple that on the show, and he wants to get the prenup, and he has to. It's a reality show. It's like real life.
Yeah.
And he wants to get a prenup with the girl, and so she agrees to it to get the prenup, and they go to have this meeting with the lawyer for the prenup. And they're going through their assets, and they got, like, nothing. There's, like, nothing. Like, they show their bank account and stuff, and it's, like, nothing. And he's like, well, this is gonna be pretty easy. Because there's, like, nothing. They have, like,
right.
$200 each or something. And they're paying this lawyer to write up the prenup for them.
Why would you do that?
I have no idea. He thinks that maybe because they'll make money later on, then they'll be able to do something else. He's like, well, once you get married, though, it kind of becomes joint. The prenup's for kind of more of the stuff before you get married.
Right.
You know, keeping that separated. He's like, oh, okay. It was pretty funny, though. So to celebrate, we are going to name our top 5 fictional couples.
That's right.
They have to be fictional. They can't be real.
Mm-mm-mm.
It has to be fictional. So that's going to be in part of the show. We'll probably do that towards the end, I would think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There's other news we want to talk about first.
Yeah.
I'm going to open these.
Things that you guys care about. Open those.
Roasted garlic and ranch oven baked ruffles. These from your mom?
Yes, my mom got those, yeah.
They smell good.
It's roasted garlic. It's hard to make that.
They smell like one of those pasta things you make at home.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A pasta.
Like a pastaroni.
Pasta salad, yeah, like a thing you make at home.
Yeah.
That's what it smells like to
it
me.
It smells good.
Yeah.
You hear that crunch?
Crunch all you want. We'll make more.
That's the sound of oven baked.
It's good. It's good.
I see there on the bag it says 65% less fat. Less than fat what?
I guess I would say the roasted garlic and ranch potato chips, but I don't think there's such a thing.
I don't think they make those.
Yeah. It's like one of those Pizzalicious chips had the, now with more pizza flavor or some percentage more pizzerific or something. It was like, well, how do you quantify that?
Yeah.
You can't quantify pizzerific.
It's not a measure. It's not a unit of measurement in science.
Let's add about 55% more pizzerific to these. So we're running dangerously low on pizzerific. All right. So you want to start off first?
I don't have a whole lot.
I have a few things.
I hope so. Since we're talking about food, I was at McDonald's today, and
really,
I got breakfast there.
Yeah.
And apparently, food is much more appetizing when it's falling. I think a stand-up comedian might have done this bit already, but I was at McDonald's and they have...
Dropped your food or something?
No, they have advertisements for their stuff in their menu. So it's like a video screen now. They don't just have a regular menu up. They have a video screen. And they show this... Every piece of food that they have, like something is falling on top of it, like a muffin is falling on top of the egg and it's bouncing around.
They call it like mid-action.
Right. Yeah. And they have a paper sack... And your hash brown is falling down into it in slow motion. Oh, look at it fall.
Look at this.
It does oddly make it more appetizing, but I don't really understand.
I thought you meant, like, after your food has fallen on the floor, then you're like, oh, man, I really wanted to eat that.
Well, that'd be the test. If you make a video where it falls in slow motion on the floor, are you still appetized by that sandwich falling and hitting something?
Do you remember that time when your sister ordered the English muffin, and it was like a McMuffin, and she wanted it... with, like, no sausage.
Yeah.
And they gave her a piece of sausage on a hamburger bun or something. It was like, you couldn't get any more opposite.
It was the worst. Yeah, it was a bad screw up.
She brought it in. She's like, does anybody want this piece of sausage on a hamburger bun? It was very funny. I ate it.
Yeah, they thought she wanted everything.
Okay,
but
then we just punch that in.
That's a $15 an hour job.
All right. You hear no Stallone in Expendables?
I didn't know they were doing another Expendables.
They
were talking about it, but...
I thought this was an April Fool's Day joke, but then I read another article today. Because, I mean, it had to be an April Fool's. No Stallone in Expendables? Right. That makes no sense. I guess he and the company that's producing it can't come to an agreement on script and director.
Hmm.
And so he's left the project and they're moving on without him.
That's weird.
And now Schwarzenegger, this is why I didn't realize, okay, it wasn't an April Fool's Day joke. Schwarzenegger's come out and said, I'm not interested in doing it if Stallone's not in it.
Wow.
Why would I want to do that? Stallone
is. Who else is going to do it?
Yeah.
All those guys owe a whole bunch to him.
Yeah, they're not going to do it unless Stallone's in it. So he said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I wasn't really impressed with my role in the third one.
Yeah.
I don't think I really had much to do there, and it wasn't my favorite of the three, but I really enjoyed the first two, and I wouldn't want to do another one unless Stallone's there. That's so silly.
Oh, Arnold said that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's really silly.
Yeah, that's weird.
There's been a lot of Arnold news lately.
He's got that movie coming out?
Yeah. Which I still haven't watched that trailer.
Oh.
He's got that.
I forget what it's called. It looks pretty good.
But no Conan. They're saying that today that was announced that deal is pretty much dead in the water.
Why?
Yep. The Terminator franchise, obviously there's not going to be any sequels
to
Terminator Genesis.
Yeah.
But he said that doesn't mean Terminator is done. It just means that it's being shopped around to other studios. It might be James Cameron. And, you know, I might still be involved in some way.
I'd like to let that go.
It should just go away. That can just end. There was, of course, the Expendables thing. And then the Predator just got announced today that he's not going to be in the Predator reboot, the Shane Black Predator.
He said
he checked out the script, didn't like it, and he felt like the only way he would come back is if his role is expanded.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem... He didn't really like the script, and his part in it, he didn't feel like he had really much to do that made it important for him to be in the movie. And Shane Black responded and said... Because somebody said to him, I really hope this is because of his size of his role and not so much the actual script itself. And Shane Black came back and said, I hope so too. He probably just felt like the part just wasn't big enough for him. Which, The more I see for this new Predator film, the less I'm excited for this new Predator film. And if there's no Dutch coming back, and if they only were going to give Dutch a small cameo at the end, then I have no interest.
Yeah, what's the point? That's another one, you know.
I've had enough Predators.
No need to reboot it.
Yeah. And unless you're bringing Dutch back in a major role to like be a real sequel to the first Predator, I don't want a bunch of new team Predators. We already had that movie.
Yeah,
it was fun.
You don't need
Predators was fun.
You don't need a sequel.
I don't need another Predators with more new faces fighting the Predator. That's okay, we've got that already. We just got that. We just had Predators not too long ago. Right. Do we really need another one that soon? With the same deal?
I don't think so.
All right, what do you got?
Well, that would segue nicely into the trailer we just watched.
Ugh. Awful.
So, the new Mummy movie's shown is coming out with Tom Cruise, and as you guys probably know, Tom Cruise was on a hot streak for a while, and I enjoy a whole lot of his movies prior, and probably for the last, I don't know, six or 7 years or something like that. Every movie he's made, I'm like, this is solid, and has even got me to go to the theater. This is the first one. Well, I didn't see Jack Reacher 2 in the theater, and that wasn't very good.
If when I hear that,
but this was the first one that I was like, I'm not going to see it in the theater, if at all. I don't. All the plot points seem like this is the Brendan Fraser Mummy,
but with a woman mummy,
and taking place in modern times. So everything's so cool, and he's got
and she's goth mummy.
Yeah,
like, she doesn't really look like
she's goth mummy. Yeah,
like Egyptian to me, or at least what they portrayed Egyptian as in the other films.
Yeah,
she doesn't really look like a mummy. She looks more like the Ring character, or like one of those witch characters,
right,
as opposed to a mummy character.
There's a whole lot of explosions in the trailer. Like, it looks like more of an action movie than a.
Well, I will say this for the new trailer. The first trailer was very much just looked like an action film.
Yeah.
This one at least had a little bit of horror element to it. Like, it looked a little like there were more scare moments.
Yeah.
At least, and I think that was an answer to the first trailer and the reaction to it. Like, was this even a horror movie? It just looks like an action adventure movie.
I did like that they showed more of the tomb and that sort of environment, but then it goes straight back to London and it just looks like New York City. Like, everything looks like New York City.
Another superhero, superpowered version. It looked like a Marvel.
It looked like a Marvel movie.
Which is what they want to be. Universal wants to make a cinematic universe just like Marvel.
Right.
So I guess these are going to be supervillains in modern times where they have giant battles in the cities.
Right.
I don't want that.
Speaking of, also the Brendan Fraser movies scratched that itch, plus gave you, a period piece. Those were adventure movies.
I just watched that again. This past week. Keen wanted to watch them, and so he watched the first one, and he loved it. Like, it's a great action-adventure
movie.
It's
a fun movie. What I like about that is it in no way feels like a remake the Boris Karloff Mummy movie.
It incorporates elements of the Boris Karloff one, and then the later ones, like the Lon Chaney's, and where it's Karras as the mummy instead of Imhotep from the first one. It kind of takes elements of all of them and puts it into one movie, but at the same time, like you said, it's not like a remake. It's not a reboot. It's just
a different
the mummy. You know, it's just a fun action adventure movie.
So this seems like it's not giving you the fun of that one, but it's not giving you the horror of the old one.
Yeah.
You watch the first mummy. There's a lot of build up. There's all this, you know, this mystery surrounding it.
Yeah.
They show you who the mummy is. They show you what she can do right up front. I don't know why. Not every movie, but all these big movies, the horror formula is you don't show that much of the villain. You don't want to see the monster. Why is that so difficult to do?
Yeah.
Why does everything have to,
In the Karloff one, he's only that wrapped up mummy for the opening sequence.
Right.
And the rest of the time he's Ardeth Bay, which is, he's an older looking character. But yeah, it's minimalist. They don't even show him in full mummy gear in that opening sequence. All the time they spent to do it, they don't even show him.
And it's not a big thing where he's like jumping at the screen or anything.
Not.
He creeps.
It's creepier that
way. When he starts waking up, you're like, crap, he's waking up.
That's scary. This doesn't look. It just looks like we said, like a Marvel take on it.
And with Tom Cruise getting thrown around in that plane with the door, the bay door being open.
And then getting thrown around in a car, and then getting thrown around in the streets, and then getting thrown around in the dirt. And it's like, man, come on.
It just seems like it's missing a lot of the stuff that it should have. I mean, the last Mission Impossible was great. I don't need every Tom Cruise movie to be a Mission Impossible movie. And this looks like it's missing all the nuance and all the, you know, the smart stuff that movie had. It's just, it has absolutely nothing to offer. It's a big snooze fest to me, is what it
Yeah, I don't
like.
Think it's got anything on the classic films, and it doesn't have anything on the Brendan Fraser films.
Right.
And it's got nothing on Tom Cruise films. It's just got nothing going
for
it.
Yeah, like,
I look at it, I'm like, who's this appealing to? Right. Like, who wants to see this? If you're into those Marvel movies with a big supervillain fighting against the city, you've got Marvel movies. If you're a horror movie fan, this isn't going to appeal to you. If you're fans of the classic Mummy movies, you're not going to be appealed to by this. So, who are they going after here?
That's kind of what I'm afraid of. I was thinking about it earlier today, although not regarding the Mummy. All these movies now, they all want to have the same stuff in them. And when everything has to be the same, when everything has to appeal to the same people, you wind up with no variety. You're trying to get more variety in there. Well, we need to sprinkle a little more humor into this dark movie. Well, what if it's not supposed to have humor? I mean, not every superhero movie is going to be humorous, and not everyone's going to be dark. And you can have light movies and dark humor, and that's why you have a variety of superheroes. If they all look like the exact same thing, and I'm talking across the board, Marvel and DC both.
Yeah.
If you're trying to make everything look the same and have the same stuff, no variety. No, and what's to be excited about? And
who was it that was talking about superhero films? Was it Spielberg? Or he was saying that... There was somebody that was regarding it like, you know, that it's going to be kind of the downfall of cinema. I remember somebody talking about it.
It might have been Spielberg.
And it really is becoming that. When Universal is looking at their horror movie franchise and saying, can we turn this into a Marvel thing? That's getting really bad. When horror movies are looking at the superhero films and going, let's copy that. And all these other things are going, let's copy that. Let's do that. I am totally burned out on the superhero film feel.
A whole city block getting decimated is old hat to me.
Yeah, it's gotten... it's really gotten obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's getting old. The superpowered character that can level a city. Oh, we've seen it a few times now. I've seen it every summer multiple times.
Right. So yeah, I mean to be real about it. I mean we're knocking it. Would I watch it on a rainy Sunday afternoon?
I would.
Yeah, probably. But is that the standard now that we're going to judge things by? I'm thinking about what is going to get me to the theater to spend money that I want to go see. This is not it, and it's more and more like that all the time. There's nothing.
And if I'm presented with a copy of that, a copy of Karloff's Mummy, and the Brendan Fraser Mummy film, which one am I going to watch? I'm probably not going to watch the Tom Cruise. Even though I haven't seen it, I'd rather watch the Karloff again, and I'd rather watch the Brendan Fraser again.
Yeah.
Because everything I've seen so far doesn't appeal to me in that Tom Cruise one. And this isn't, I mean, I hate for us to come across as we're constantly dogging superhero films, because I still get a lot of enjoyment out of some superhero films.
Yeah.
I am completely burnt out, though. Like, it's not exciting to me anymore. But if it's exciting to you and that's your thing, that's great. I'm not trying to take that away from people and say, hey, everybody should be tired of this, too. It's just that's our feelings.
We're speaking in generalities.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like there aren't exceptions. One exception being Logan, which I just saw, which you didn't see.
I haven't seen it yet.
So I don't want to spoil it. I saw Logan, and I did enjoy it quite a bit. I had some issues with it, and I think my issues with it were really issues that I had with some of the other Marvel movies, you know? So back to the same thing, but everything with Hugh Jackman, you know, was good, and I feel like it was a good... I think the X-Men movie should just end there, because... You know, Hugh Jackman is done. It seems like Patrick Stewart is done, too.
Said that, but I think he's also said that he's going to make an appearance on the television series or something. I don't know. But he said that it was a good send-off for both characters.
Yeah, it would be a nice cap on the series and just, you know, end it. Because Hugh Jackman is the only character, really, that I... He was holding the whole thing together for me, totally. And I'm not saying that...
Yeah, no matter what film it was, he was a shining point in every one of them.
Right.
That his Wolverine was something you could look at and enjoy. Even in a crappy movie like X-Men 3, you could still watch Hugh Jackman's Wolverine and enjoy that.
So it was nice... it was nice. It was kind of emotional, even. And I felt like Hugh, Mr. Jackman, went all out. In all the action scenes, it seemed to me like he knew, this is the last time I get to do this.
Yeah.
I'm really going for it. And that's what it seemed like. And so that was really cool. for anybody who's wondering about seeing it still, if you don't already know, it did seem like they were making up for not having an R rating in the other movies and getting one in this one. So there's a lot of F-bombs, like a gratuitous amount of unnecessary F words.
Yeah.
So don't take your 12-year-old kid to see it if you're concerned about that sort of thing. There wasn't anything else. There was some blood. It's a little bit of a little bit of gore and some violence, but that was nothing sexual or anything like that.
Yeah, so. I'm wondering how many people really sat in the theater hearing those curse words and going, "This was missing."
Yeah, finally. Yeah, finally.
Yeah,
I didn't. I never got that feeling.
An answer to the Deadpool thing. Speaking of other superhero films, the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer has hit the new one. And it could be fatigue talking, but...
He's coming home, is what I hear.
I was unimpressed with the trailer.
Yeah.
Other than Michael Keaton as the villain, anytime where it's Michael Keaton out of the Vulture suit, and he's acting, and he's being villainous, I was with it. I was like, that's interesting. That looks great.
At that point, you just pop in your copy of Mr. Mom.
I'll pop in my copy of Mr. Mom. And see him as the villain.
Just watch the other guys again and watch him as the police chief.
Yeah. But the rest of it was like, okay, that's... Okay, you got somebody in on it, on his secret identity at school. That goes against what I liked about Peter Parker right off the bat. And you've got it right in the trailer. I like that Peter Parker's a loner. I like that he has nobody to confide in. I like that he wants to tell other people, but he knows that he has to be responsible and can't tell other people. I don't like that he has a pal that's going to try on his Spider-Man suit and make it funny, or that he can turn to during a school assembly and go, "I stole Captain America's shield," and do these
kind of
things.
A whole lot of high-fiving going on.
I like the internalizing of Peter Parker, where he has to keep it to himself, and he has to be the loner. I don't like that he's got his pal Tony Stark there, giving him a suit, and that the suit is now what makes the man. When was that in the comics, that Spider-Man looked at his suit and all the powers his suit had as the draw as to why he was Spider-Man? Didn't like that.
Maybe that's a setup for a sequel where he realizes the suit is not, his.
His suit's doing tons of crazy things in the trailer.
It's got the little spider that comes off the chest.
Spider pops off. I guess this is a spider tracer, and it's real big and baggy, and then vacuum forms to his body, and it's doing weird things.
Yeah.
And then he's got a scene where a plane's going down, and he's fighting Vulture in a plane, and he's saving the plane with his spider powers at the same time it's going down, and it's. Very CGI.
How does that work?
I mean, I'm going to give it a fair shake when it comes out, but the trailer itself did not impress me. And I know I'm partial to the Sam Raimi films.
Yeah.
But as I watched it, there was nothing there that I saw that I went, now this is Spider-Man.
This is
what I did got before. Now this is Spider-Man.
Or even to make it necessary to have...
I felt it was completely unnecessary. As I watched it, I'm just like, okay, yeah, it's great that he's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I don't think I was really missing that in the Sam Raimi movies.
Yeah.
Like, I never watched part one and part two and went, gee, I really wish he could talk to Captain America right about now. Or, gee, I really wish he was in the Avengers right about now.
Well, him being in the Avengers is another thing, and that's part of what is bothering me about this, is every Marvel movie is now an Avengers movie.
Exactly.
And
I like the standalone characters.
Right, so if every movie is just...
That's not a big part of Spider-Man's history, is that he's an Avenger.
Right.
Most of the time, Spider-Man... is his own thing. Like, he's his own hero. He gets crossovers, if occasionally he's an Avenger. But for the majority of his career as a superhero, he's just Spider-Man.
Right.
Just one guy against all these bad guys. And that's what I like about Spider-Man. I like that he's not just on a team. Like, Cyclops is an X-Man. I don't like Cyclops on his own.
You don't want to see Cyclops the movie.
Spider-Man I like on his own. I don't want to see him as part of a team and talking to other superheroes and doing this and doing that and doing this. Great that he has crossovers. I don't need him in a movie, though.
Right.
So the trailer, to me, was unimpressive, and that could be, again, my preferential view of the Sam Raimi films and the fact that I like Michael Keaton so much, maybe the reason that I'm enjoying Michael Keaton in the trailer so much. again, we're going to try not to judge things so harshly based on trailers. I'm trying to do that moving forward. But I will say when a trailer is unimpressive, and this is unimpressive.
That's what we got. It's a trailer to look at.
I'm not saying the movie's going to be a dog. I'm just saying the trailer itself is unimpressive. Same with the Justice League trailer. Did not enjoy it. I thought it was very reliant on CGI and kind of cheaper laughs.
Yeah.
And I'm getting kind of tired of the modern songs in these movies.
Oh, that's a trend that I want to talk. They were doing like every trailer like a year or two ago had a Jay-Z song in it for some reason, no matter what the period was or whatever. And so now I'm noticing the new trend is remake a classic rock song in a down-tempo modern take on it, so it's dark and grit, but it's just a classic rock song. What if you just made a new song? Or what if you just had like a score?
I want a score. Yeah. That's why I love superhero scores.
Which thankfully that's been the case when you get into the film. Yeah, they're mostly they're not doing that.
But for Suicide Squad, we had the Bohemian Rhapsody. I think they put that in there. For Superman versus Batman, I want to say it's Come Together is what they used in that one.
I see. See, now with Suicide Squad, I was fine. I thought that was a cool trailer, that first trailer they put out with the Bohemian Rhapsody. I was like, oh, I'm okay with it.
I think a lot of that is Bohemian Rhapsody is such a cool song.
Well, that's part of it.
Turned off the song, but maybe it was, you look at the trailer like, maybe this isn't as cool.
But it was almost like an ironic difference between, you know, the bad guys and they're playing that song. And then immediately after that, they pull the same trick with whatever the next thing was.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay, I see.
Here's what they're doing.
I see.
And just did it with Justice League.
Right. Just did it with Justice
League. I would have much rather had a score.
And they just did it with The Mummy, too, because they were playing
Paint It Black.
Paint It Black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the trailer itself, too, visually, it looks like your usual Zack Snyder stuff. Yeah. It's dark. To me, it's kind of, the colors have kind of been sapped out of it. But yet you're putting in all the joke stuff. Like, they kind of did with the Batman versus Superman trailers once people started complaining about the tones, that they put in all the joke stuff. But the visually, the tone of the trailer doesn't look like jokey stuff.
Right.
But you're putting in all the jokey stuff. I don't know, man. It's really tough to judge with trailers these days. It really is.
Yeah, because that's one thing, is you have, it seems like the same, the machines cranking out trailers, and they could, I've seen a good movie
have a horrible trailer
ruined by a terrible trailer, so you don't know. I with Justice League, it's not something I was really looking that forward to, but I'm really looking forward to Ben Affleck's Batman.
Me too.
Because he is really good in that role.
He's really great in Batman,
and almost everything in this trailer was a CG version of that, and
totally
and my hope was, I mean, when they're talking about him directing it, which he's not doing now.
But it's Matt Reeves, apparently, and he did the Planet of the Apes films, and I love those.
You love those?
Yeah.
But those use a lot of CG.
They do, but it's...
Which they kind of...
They kind of have to.
Yeah, you have the Talking Apes, but is he used to that enough to where that's going to be the case? Because Ben Affleck, like, if you watch any movie that he's directed recently, but The Town was great, Argo was great, and those are they're filmed realistically. They're filmed like I think a Batman movie could be filmed, and not relying on any, there's like everything's practical.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there wasn't a whole bunch of effects or anything, but if I see Batman, a CG Batman, and he's whipping through the city and his cape is like, can't you just blow some wind on a real cape and make that look like something? I mean,
little shots like in Batman versus
it makes
Superman.
A big difference. It
does.
Makes a
it
big
does
difference.
To me too. Like, when he just is on a wall and he's shooting a grappling gun and swinging, does that have to be CGI?
Right.
And it feels like for Zack Snyder, that does have to be CGI.
Right.
Like, it does.
Right.
I'm hopeful that when it's Ben Affleck and Matt Reeves in control, that it doesn't always have to be CGI. We're going for more of a non-cosmic, global, huge, giant storytelling thing and more of a subdued thing.
Yeah, I'd like to get back to Batman,
Batman Year One,
the detective.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Those more subdued, smaller story.
And those are in Batman versus Superman, those are when he had his suit on.
When he was doing that training montage?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
I was in on that.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching that, I was like, that's...
And that's what
it's cool.
That's what, you know, more of that...
More of that.
Yeah.
Less of trying to match what you're doing with the super powered guys.
Right.
So you're going to use CGI for Superman. It's just going to be that way. You're going to use CGI for Flash and Cyborg. Doesn't mean you have to use it for Batman, but it feels like they do have to use it for Batman. Because you're using it for everybody else, so let's use it on Batman too. So hopefully when we get to Batman, it leaves behind all the super-powered stuff.
Yeah.
And we just get more of a classic Batman.
Yeah.
You know, and
a cool part...
Justice League, maybe they've learned from the mistakes of Superman versus Batman, and the final product will be more in line with what I want out of a Justice League movie.
Yeah.
It might be. I'm willing to watch it and give it a chance and hope for the best. Again, though, the trailers aren't giving me a lot of confidence that's the case.
The one thing that stood out to me, and this is such a small thing, but Wonder Woman looks cool when she does that. She does that leg sweep thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did it in the Wonder Woman trailer, too.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's actually doing it.
Which is cool.
And it's a cool-looking move. Mm-hmm. So, also, Wonder Woman, I kind of want that movie to be good.
I do, too.
But I've heard some that it's suffering from some of the same continuity issues and things like that. And
I like period pieces.
I do, too. And
I think that's cool.
Right.
And as long as they stick it to being a period piece, which we were talking about that shot, that line in the trailer where she says something like, this look isn't working or something. And that's not of the period, to say that kind of thing, use that kind of terminology, it is they said. So I really hope, like First Avenger, The Rocketeer, where if it's a period piece, that they really stick to it being of that period.
I heard that Chris Pine also sort of overshadows Wonder Woman's part in it, which I don't know if that's true.
That would be tough to do.
Seems like it would be tough to do. But I don't want that. If I want a Wonder Woman movie, I want it to be a Wonder Woman.
I don't want a Steve Trevor movie.
I don't mind if that dude is tagging along or he's, you know, shows up here and there, but... if it's going to be like one and one, you know, if it's like, I don't know, it just seems like...
I don't want a partnership.
It doesn't have to be that. It's a Wonder Woman movie.
It's a Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, so we'll see. That movie looks like everything looks pretty good.
Visually, it looks really cool. Visually, the trailers and everything have looked really cool on it. The costume looks cool. That one I'm more excited about based on what I've seen versus Justice League.
Yeah.
I feel like Wonder Woman's more in the right direction of what I want it to be as opposed to what Justice League is. And again, that could just be because I don't like Zack Snyder films.
Could be.
I've lost the appeal of the Zack Snyder film. Okay. The Apes trailer is up too, the new Apes trailer, and I think it looks great. I can't wait for another Apes movie.
Oh, yeah.
Those have been hit, and hopefully another hit for me.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson looks great, man.
He's got makeup on.
He's villainous. He's a villain. He's a great actor.
He's a man. He's a man that wants to take out apes.
When you have to play against...
a human.
You know, these CGI characters, you need high-caliber actors to really kind of sell that, especially if it's going to be the villain of the... You know, in the previous two films, it hasn't been so much Caesar versus an actor as a villain.
Yeah.
Like, face-to-face, those two as a true confrontation.
Well, just now getting to the war.
Yeah. So you're going to have a high-caliber actor that's going to be able to pull off that animosity and be able to sell that these two characters really dislike each other and hate each other, that they're enemies, with one of them being live-action, ready to go, versus a guy in CGI.
Mm-hmm.
I think Woody Harrelson's probably going to be able to pull it off. It looks good to me.
I'm excited about that. I like Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time.
With Star Wars?
With him, the idea of him in Star Wars, and even in this... I think he looks cool, and I have no reason to not like him in it. I associate him so strongly with comedy.
Yeah.
Like, he was cool in Zombieland, but he's really funny in Zombieland, and that's what makes him kind of cool. He was in Natural Born Killers, too, and that was a more serious role, but he's kind of got that lisp, and he kind of talks like...
See, I think it works for a military-type guy that he's playing in this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like... It could be fine. It could be fine.
I think he's a little bit too connected. He's a little too down home and connected to be
in Star Wars. Definitely.
Yeah, that's going to be tougher for me to buy.
Yeah.
As opposed to his character in this.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. We'll see, man. He's a good actor, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I like him. But
what else you got? You got anything else?
So
we're already at 34 minutes.
I just wanted to mention. A listener of ours, a friend and listener from across the pond, Andrew Harwood Mills.
Cool guy.
He's a cool guy. He's he's an actor.
He is an actor.
And he's scored a part in a music video for Lacuna Coil. I don't know if we have any Lacuna Coil fans here, but if you're so inclined, the song is Blood, Tears, Dust. And they're a big band. I mean, you can go to the mall and pick up a Lacuna Coil record at the mall. And he's
still record stores at the mall?
I think there's FYE and Hot Topic.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Or you can just go on iTunes probably and buy this.
You can get on iTunes and buy it or whatever. You can go on YouTube right now and look up the music video, and he's acting the part. And it's got like a lot of music videos have a storyline going.
That's cool, man.
And he's in it, and he's acting the part. So good for you, man.
That's cool. You'll be able to see that and be like, hey, we know this guy. He likes the show.
Right.
That's cool.
Right.
I'm going to watch the video now that you've said that.
And I had heard the band before, so it was kind of cool for me to see. I'm like, well, okay.
This connection here.
It's making a little bit more...
No. You should use some of their music for the next...
I almost did, but it's pretty heavy, so...
Well...
I don't know. I know if it's too... I know if it's too loud, you're too old.
Maybe too old.
A lot of people
are
too old. I don't want to...
Maybe, is there like a subdued one? Is there like a slightly subdued one?
I don't think so. No. I could turn it down. I could turn it down a whole lot.
Just turn it down because it won't be too loud.
Right.
I won't be too old then.
Just turn it way down.
Turn it way down. Make it so you can't even hear anything.
So anyway, good for him. He's really been putting in some work, it seems. He's been in a few smaller movies over there with some bigger names, some bigger name actors. And
I'm not ashamed to say it. He's got a good look for it.
He's
got a great look.
So, if you...
It's like a chameleon from what I've seen in the pictures
online. If you're so inclined, go to his Facebook page and check it out and like it.
Just check it out.
You could check it out.
Check it out.
Let's check it out.
All right, you want to do this list or you got anything else?
No, well, that's all I had.
I do have some honorable mentions. I'll save them for the end.
Me too.
You started off.
Okay.
Number five.
Ekaterina Gordieva and Sergey Grinkov. Yeah, that's the first on my list for famous figure skating couples.
No, famous fictional.
Famous figure skating couples is what we're doing, right?
Fictional couples.
Ah, shoot.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
I thought
we were doing...
A little tribute to the love of Mike and Amy. It's over.
I thought we were doing pairs. I thought we were doing pairs of
figure
skating. All right.
No. Do you have anything else?
Well, I'll go with my backup list.
Okay.
I have a backup list.
What do you got?
Jim and Pam from The Office.
Hey, look at that. That's a good one.
The interest was really when they were not together.
Yeah. The build-up to it.
The build-up to it.
Once they got together, you lost interest.
Right. But that show is really well-written and really kept people engaged for a long time. And so I think they've solidified their...
That's a good one.
People can't think of them, those two actors, as not being together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a good one. I wish I'd have put that on my list.
I'm sorry you didn't.
Okay, for number five, for me, it's weird because they're not actually a couple in the movie, but everybody thinks of it as this now, is Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein.
I knew you were going to have that on there.
Because it's, everybody thinks of Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein.
Right.
It's like the only monster couple.
Right.
She rejects him in the movie. Like, she doesn't even...
She's not interested.
She's not interested. But it's the whole buildup of her being created for him, and then the ultimate rejection when she sees him. It plays into a lot, of love in real life, and that feeling of rejection of what you want to be yours, and you can't be yours. And then it's just, it's become a thing over 70, 80 years of this movie, but everybody thinks of them as the couple.
Right.
But they're not actually
the
couple. So that's my number five.
All right. I knew it was going to be on there.
It's got to be on there.
Okay. My number four, my list is pretty boring, I think, actually, is Indy and Marion.
My number four is also Indy and Marion.
Really?
Yeah.
Number four?
My number four is Indy and Marion.
All right. That's
Look
cool.
Look at that. That's a cool one,
that's
man.
Cool.
That doesn't happen that often.
It doesn't.
And we hit the same thing.
I actually tried to avoid things that I thought you were going to put on there.
I tried to do the same.
For variety.
But I know that there's going to be a couple that we have to be having.
I couldn't.
I didn't think you'd have Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So that's why I kept it on there.
Indy and Marion, maybe not... They're together, for sure.
Let's ignore Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
What movie?
Yeah, we're talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's it.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's all.
So they sort of become a couple, as they're a partnership, but they have a past. And it's very obvious to me that of all the indie girls,
that's
from
the
three movies, he loves her.
Yeah.
And they're the way they play off of each other is... just right. She's got that spark, you know? She's real spunky.
Yeah. And, she's the only one, in my opinion, that's equal to Indy in the movie.
Yeah, she holds her own in all the ways that she makes up for things that Indy doesn't, that where Indy's lacking.
Yeah.
And he makes up for things where she's lacking, just like, you know, really an ideal couple.
It works really, really well. The chemistry's there between the two actors.
Yeah, definitely.
And she's really fun to watch as a character, and he's really fun to watch as a character, and it's fun to watch them together as characters.
Yeah. I love Indy, and I probably love watching Marion.
Oh, without a doubt.
As well as Indy in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, she's very fun to watch in Raiders of the Lost Ark. A great female character, too. One of the best of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome couple.
Very good. So I did...
we both did four. We both did four.
Now it's number three. Number three is Princess Batakwa.
I knew you were going to have Princess Bride on there.
I could not. Yeah. That was a very favorite movie of mine my childhood.
I left it off because I knew it would be on yours.
And I watched it recently, too, and it just doesn't age.
It's great.
It just holds up. Everything about it is...
I showed it to the boys for the first time a few months back now that it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
And, man, it's just a fun, fun movie.
It's got everything in it. I mean, fairy tales have been hanging on for centuries.
Yeah.
And this is really just the same thing. It's the same formula with a little bit of modern humor and some twists in the way that they cut to Peter Falk telling the story, adds a little flavor. But Wesley and Buttercup, they can't be separated by... You can say death doesn't separate him, but he didn't actually die.
Yeah.
But he comes back for her after having no choice for like 7 years or whatever, rescues her from the prince, and she loves him. I mean, an undying love between those two.
Yeah.
And just a fun, just, you know. That movie's about...
That's a good one.
True love. I mean, that's what that movie's about.
My number three is Batman and Catwoman.
I knew Batman was going to be on there. I wasn't sure if it'd be Catwoman or not.
You have to go Catwoman. That's the one that always goes back to them as being a couple. And the reason it's so far down, there's two more spots above it, is because Batman has all these other loves in his life where it's not identified simply as just Batman, Catwoman, of all
right,
time.
Right, and there's Vicky Vale,
and there's Talia, and there's, you know, there's so many other ones. But Catwoman's the one that really stands out. And again, it's that she holds her own against him as a character. And the dichotomy of it's a hero and a villain. You know, that she's... I like her played as a villain.
Right.
And the hero and the villain coming together as a couple.
And once in a while, they have to help each other out or something.
She goes back to the other side. Played perfectly in Batman the Animated Series.
Yes.
It's played perfectly. Yes. That relationship is great. I think it's played really well in Batman Returns.
Yes.
Even though it's a kind of a different take on the character as opposed to what she was and other things. But as far as Batman and a female character goes, Batman Catwoman is my favorite.
Yeah.
It just works really well.
It's a really good dynamic.
It is.
And it sort of speaks to that, you know, you're kind of really attracted to a girl that is probably bad news.
She probably shouldn't be. She's bad news.
But
she's... You're Batman.
You know.
She's Catwoman.
You're up on the roof. You're she's on the roof. Roof.
You're swinging around. What you gonna do?
There kiss she her? Is. She's wearing a leather
you
outfit.
Might as well kiss her?
She's wearing a leather outfit. What
she
you gonna do?
She stole some jewels. Okay.
So what?
Kiss her and then take her to jail.
Big deal.
Big deal, man.
Just a couple of jewels. Who cares?
So what? Who cares? What's your number two?
Number two is Luke Star World and Princess Leia, Princess of a Royal Highness World. Leia Princess, Princess of a Royal Highness World.
Luke and Leia?
Yeah, no. I like the idea of somebody still thinking that they're
okay.
A couple. Yeah, they're a couple. No, my number two is Han and Leia. Honestly,
I'm gonna go ahead and say that's my number one.
That's a hard one to avoid.
It's man.
It's
when you think of fictional couples in the things that we like, pop culture, type stuff. Han and Leia is like one that immediately comes to mind. Like when we were first talking about this list, that was the first one that popped in my head was Han and Leia.
Honestly, that should have been my number one. Also, it's not but it should be. Everything and, you know, we can talk about it when we get to your number one if you want to.
You want to do that?
Yeah,
that's
fine.
And then we'll go back to it? Okay, my number two is Superman and Lois Lane.
Yes.
Is that your? That's not your number one.
It's not my number one.
Okay. But. Played perfectly in the first Superman film.
Yes.
That's the relationship right there. It's all you really need in Superman 1 and 2. But for the entire history of Superman's character, as opposed to like what we just said with Batman, there's only one for really Superman.
That's all. That's
and that's
it.
Lois Lane.
He can have any.
Lana Lang.
He can have anybody.
There. But if you think about really the history of Superman, that's the major one. It's Superman and Lois Lane. Clark Kent, Lois Lane. And they played it through the comics, you know, where he has to hide Clark Kent. Clark Kent hides Superman from her and eventually devolves into her knowing about it and then becoming married. And, you know, and they've changed everything with the New 52. But for the major history of the character, that's the one love for Superman.
Yeah.
And especially at the end of the first Superman film where she's dead and he's, I mean, it's one of my favorite moments in film and he just can't take it. And then he has to turn the entire thing backwards to save this one woman. Perfect love story between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's great couple. Lois great. And Clark. It's the only one that was right up there with Han and Leia for me. Like, this could be the number one just based on the Superman movie with Chris Reeve.
Yeah.
But Han and Leia did win out. What is your number one?
My number one is Cliff Secord and Betty.
Hey, that's great.
Betty Page. Or Jenny, depending on what you
like. It's just a name. It's the same character, basically.
Yeah.
Visually.
And they got number one because, I guess just recently, I had been reevaluating the dynamic and stuff, and it's just, it's played so well.
Yeah.
Cliff is gaga over Betty.
Yeah.
And she can have any dude she wants. And has a bunch of other guys that are trying to get her.
Especially in the comic.
Especially in the comic. Yeah. Now, there's a slight difference between, I think in the movie, they took all the key elements and they played them out perfectly in the in the film. I think even a little bit better than in the comic because everything's kind of smoothed out.
Yeah.
But in the comic, you know, Betty's, she's out with a bunch of smut peddlers and stuff.
Yeah,
and
she's more of a sex symbol than...
Right.
Than Jenny is.
And she's trying to make her... They both are trying to make the splash in Hollywood. They're both trying to get somewhere. But in the comic, it's a little bit more like she's willing to not sell her body, but use her looks and her
body.
But
at the same time, I think she's 100% loyal and invested in Cliff.
Right.
But Cliff is a guy, he's worried all the time.
Right.
Like, he's constantly kind of going, you know, all these guys around her doing, you know... But it's nice to see that the one character that really is supposed to be the... You know, she's probably out of his league.
She's way
out of his league. But she's completely faithful and invested in him, even though she's out of his league.
And he's just a bum.
Yeah.
He's just a sky bum. He's not making any money. That's the dynamic that I like, is that he doesn't really have anything to offer her.
Totally.
Except his... He respects her. Nobody else respects her.
Yeah.
She's eye candy to everybody else. But to him, she's tops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very cool dynamic.
It's really cool.
And and in the movie too, there's a moment where Jenny is held by the mob and the Nazis, and Cliff is coming to meet, and he descends down, and she's got this look on her face, man. It's awe, and it's filled with hope, and she sees him for the first time, I think, as something that, I mean, she loves him in the movie too, regardless of what he has to offer, but he gets to, through the rocket pack and the helmet, become everything that he's supposed to be, or sees that he doesn't even see the potential that he has to be. It's just a great, just really great. So
it's
that,
really great.
It got to be my number one.
Hanalei is my number one. Hanalei said it.
Yeah,
but. Again, it's the evolution of the characters as it goes throughout the films.
That's what makes it so strong, I think.
Yeah, again, out of his league. She's a princess. He's a scoundrel.
Right.
And then the seeing the character of Han evolve because of Leia.
Right.
You know, you can say that he's friends with Luke and he's on this adventure and he's this, but it's really because of Leia that the character turns, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And becomes what he becomes towards Jedi. Or Return of the Jedi, not becoming a Jedi. That it's his love for her that steers where the character goes, even into, you know, taking into Force Awakens and how far it goes past that. Looking at the character where he starts at in Star Wars before he even meets her, up to where he becomes after he's with her is huge.
She makes him a better person.
Yeah,
he's got this supreme confidence, you know, throughout the first throughout all the movies. But a moment of, you know, when she kisses Luke, he's like, take it easy. He's like, maybe. But then, you know, you had a whole one movie, and then even by the time they kiss in the second movie,
it's still a big will they or won't they?
Yeah, because type thing. Yeah, because there's a certain obstinate.
And opposed to as opposed to Jim and Pam, like we talked about earlier, where after they became a couple, it became slightly less interesting. I think it was still interesting. Even after they become a couple, it's still very interesting to watch the two of the characters.
They still had the princess scoundrel dynamic. Yeah, and that showed up in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like that they kind of went their separate ways because Han is like, look, this, you know, I got to do this thing. This is me over here.
I got to keep this going.
That's, you know, definitely a number one pick.
Honorable mentions, what do you got?
Superman and Lois was my first honorable mention. Almost made my list.
He-Man and Teela.
Nice.
Made my list. As a kid.
He-Man and She-Ra.
That's weird.
He-Man and She-Ra.
He-Man and Teela was like a one that stood out to me as a kid growing up. Was like, He-Man and Teela, will they ever be really a couple?
Right.
And that was really played up for a long time throughout the series of... There was every once in a while you'd see a little thing like, oh, are they going to be a boyfriend and girlfriend? You know, like when you're a little kid, you're waiting for that moment. And, you know, kids growing up playing and everything and... The girls wanted the He-Man and Teela to be, they're going to be a boyfriend and girlfriend. All that stuff. So that for me was a childhood one that really stands out.
Lloyd Dobler and Diane Court from Say Anything.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie had a big impression on my idea of...
Boomboxes.
Romance, I think. Yeah, from an early age. But good dynamic, too, there also between the actors and characters.
This one is a big part of the actors, Peter Venkman and Dana Barrett.
I thought that was going to be on your list.
It almost made the list. Something has to get bumped.
Something's got
to
get bumped.
Something's got to get bumped.
It's five.
Peter Venkman and Dana Barrett, man, they're both hilarious characters. Even Dana Barrett, maybe not so much played for so much comedy,
right?
But she still holds her own against Bill Murray. You know, Sigourney Weaver's probably one of the only actresses that really can hold her own in every scene with Bill Murray.
She's strong. And strong-willed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a list worthy. I mean...
They're great together.
They're great together. His persistence...
Yeah.
She's, you know, her being resistant... She resists and...
He just keeps trying.
He's persistent.
It keeps the same game going, too.
And eventually she's won over by his charm.
Yeah. He doesn't change it up.
Reluctantly.
He doesn't apologize.
Right.
Or say, you know, like... Okay, I was a jerk that time.
Right.
Will you please give me a chance? It's still the same things.
Right. Same deal.
I'd like to talk to you about over dinner. You know, it's like he just goes right back into it again. It's just keeps on.
He's not a handsome dude either. No. You know, her giving him that shot is.
And then to bring it back around again in Ghostbusters 2, where they end up being a couple again.
Yeah, right.
And the fact that it didn't work, like it shouldn't work because he's kind of a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk.
He's irresponsible.
Yeah.
And she's not. And then it comes back around again, and they end up together again in Ghostbusters 2. It's a good dynamic.
Good couple. Jack Tenrick and Hannah Dundee from Xenozoic Tales.
That's good.
They're technically not a couple, and that's probably why I didn't make my list.
It takes a long time to get to that point where you can even kind of consider them a couple in the comic.
They wind up sticking together, and they have that moment, you know, if you read the comic, they have a moment where... Everything kind of breaks free, but after that, it's back to business only, pretty much. And really good dynamic there too, where Hannah's holding her own, and Jack doesn't quite know what to make of her. But you can tell they feel something for each other. And man, Mark is a good writer to have pulled that off in comic form. I think
that's all I got.
That's all I have. That
was a fun list.
That's good.
That's a fun list. Thanks, Amy, for agreeing to marry Mike so we'd have this cool list.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I asked her, really. Yeah. I was like, what can we do to get
this
list
going? What
can we do to get this list going?
Yeah. If I could do this, this will motivate this list, so...
Then we get the top five
let's
going.
Just go for it.
That's what I did.
Let's check it out. All right. Is that it for this one?
I think so.
53 minutes. That's
I think that's
one.
It.
Amy said she might listen to this episode.
Oh,
I'm
shoot.
I'm going to guess she doesn't make it all the way through it.
Oh, shoot.
I'm going to guess she gets tired of it pretty quickly.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, I would get tired of
it. She didn't want to listen to
this. Nobody wants to listen to this.
Nobody.
I don't listen back to it.
Nobody is listening to it.
I go, every once in a while, I'm like, I should really proof this, make sure it sounds good all the way through. I'm just like, skip. Oh, that sounds good, skip. That sounds pretty good, skip. That sounds good. And that's the end. Okay, it sounds like it's fine.
That's it.
Good enough. So if you stuck all the way out, that's, hey, kudos.
I don't want to listen to myself talk.
Kudos bars for you.
Okay.
Remember kudos bars?
Yeah.
Those are good, man.
They were good.
All right.
Okay.
Well.
All right. If you want.
Okay. I know.
I know.
I know.
I know.
Watch some Brule's Rules. If you made it all the way through this, treat yourself to some Brule's Rules, watch, doctor to doctor.
Yeah, watch.
I know.
I know.
I know.
I'm a doctor, too. I could be a priest, too, if I want. If I say I am.
I found a restaurant where you can find a million food. I know.
I know.
Don't forget, I know about car crowding. All right. Start it off. See you guys next time.